The History of Christmas Number 1s 1952 to 1999, Part 1, 1952 to 1975. By Wallace the Waffle Whiffer. Image. Noddy Holder, right, and Dave Hill, left, near the height of their fame in 1973, showing some of their more extreme glam rock fashions. Holy mince pies and brandy butter Batman. Is it bauble and tinsel time again already? It seems like we just got the last of the pine needle out of the carpet and here we go once again. Other than the fact that it does seem to come around quicker every year, there is much that I enjoy about Christmas time. Eating a steady diet of mince pies, the drink, the lights, time with friends and family, and then the loosen your belt bang up turkey dinner on Christmas Day, to name but a few. Each December there is another criminal pleasure that I enjoy, and that is the music of the period and in Christmas past the countdown to the Christmas number one. So, with that in mind, I have written a two-part series about the artists and their songs that have topped the festive song charts, with a bit of a preamble concerning Christmas is past. Hang on to your Santa hats, everyone, as we travel from 1952 through to 1999, remembering the chart-topping seasonal songs from each year. Christmas 1950s, 1960s and early 1970s style. The 1950s saw wartime rationing end in 1954, but things were still very frugal. If your relatives were to visit you over the festive period, chances are it would be by train, as many did not have cars at that time. Towards the end of the decade, as many more had TV sets, Christmas specials were starting to be shown, although those were mostly American. If you were a child in the 1960s, chances are that you would be making paper chains to decorate around your home, and any Christmas decorations you bought in a shop would also have been made of paper at that time as well. Boxing Day was when the family came around, usually by car in this decade, as travel was now a bit easier by road and more people owned an automobile. The beginning of the decade began with many in the UK seeing a white Christmas on the day in 1970. Artists from the 1950s and the 1960s still dominated our festive viewing, and polyester, action figures and ready-made Christmas tunes by Slade, Wizard and Mudd were at the top of the singles charts. 1952, Al Martino, Here in My Heart. Not only was this the Christmas number one in 1952, but it was also the first number one on the Infant UK singles chart that year. The 9-week run at the top from 14 November, when the UK singles chart began, into 1953 gave the song the distinction of being the only number one of 1952. Interestingly, Richard Harris sings a version of the song for the film This Sporting Life in 1963. Here in My Heart would be Martino's only British number one. Martino, often called one of the greatest of the Italian crooners, was also accomplished as an actor and starred as the singer Johnny Fontaine in the Francis Ford Coppola 1972 film The Godfather. I wonder if anyone has ever woken up on Christmas to find Auntie Zelda's fruit cake in bed with them. Oh, how gruesome! 1953, Frankie Lane, Answer Me. This song ran at the top of the charts for 8 weeks and was Lane's third of four UK number ones and second of two on the trot in 1953, with the first song being Hey Joe. Lane also holds the record for the most weeks at the top, 18, with the song I Believe, although these are not consecutive weeks. Known for his style and a strong voice with which he could use to sing in auditoriums without a microphone, Lane had several nicknames, including Mr. Rhythm, Leather Lungs, and Steel Tonsils. Lane also was known for songs that he sang in the well-known Western films 3:10 to Yuma, Gunfight at the OK Corral, and also the groundbreaking comedy Blazing Saddles. These are people of the land. The common clay of the New West. You know. Morons. That film. 1954. Winifred Atwell, Let's Have Another Party. This recording was at the top for 5 weeks and was a sequel to Let's Have a Party, which was a hit earlier in 1954. Both songs were instrumental melodies of popular tunes. Atwell was most famous for her boogie-woogie and ragtime music, although she was also a skilled classical pianist who trained at the Royal Academy of Music. She was also the first black artist to enter the charts in the UK and the first to sell over a million copies of a recording. Atwell was quite popular both in the UK and in Australia and went on to sell over 20 million records worldwide. One of the first party people and the record-buying public wanted to join in. 1955, Dickie Valentine Christmas Alphabet. Christmas Alphabet was the second of two number ones by Dickie Valentine and was at that slot for 3 weeks. The song Christmas Alphabet was the first to be created especially for the Christmas market, and the artist went on to chart with two more Christmas songs in the 1950s, Christmas Island charting at number 8 in 1956 and Snowbound for Christmas number 28 in 1957. Dickie Valentine won the NME Male Vocalist category 1953-57 and went on to have a popular television show in the early 1960s. Even though he was always a popular live performer throughout his 20-plus year career, his viability as a commercial recording artist essentially began and ended in the 1950s. 1956, Johnny Ray Just Walking in the Rain. 7 weeks on top of the charts for Ray, Just Walking in the Rain was the second of three number ones for this popular 50s artist, a very popular and influential artist who was mentioned in various songs, most notably Dixie's Midnight Runners' Come On Eileen. Johnny Ray was considered by some music critics as an early herald of rock and roll, and Tony Bennett has called him the father of rock and roll. His melancholic songs have been compared to those of Morrissey, and in the early days of his career, his sob-like vocal delivery also earned him nicknames such as the Prince of Wales and Mr. Emotion. Ray was heavily influenced musically by R&B and jazz styles, and along with his being partially deaf was said to contribute to the emotional delivery he was known for. A very popular singer during the 1950s, Ray had 19 top 20 songs from 1951-57. 1957, Harry Belafonte, Mary's Boy Child. Recorded in 1956 and released on the album An Evening with Harry Belafonte from the same year, Mary's Boy Child first topped the UK charts in November of 1957, and stayed there for 7 weeks. The song was the first UK single to sell over 1 million copies. Widely covered by a vast range of artists, the best known being the 1978 version by Boney M., which was also a number one recording. Harry charted twice more with the song in 1958, coming at 18, and then again in 1959 at number 30. Nicknamed the King of Calypso, Belafonte is considered one of the most successful American-Jamaican singers ever. Other songs he is well known for include Matilda, the Banana Boat Song, and Jump in the Line. 1958, Conway Twitty, It's Only Make Believe. Co-written by Twitty with Jack Nance, It's Only Make Believe was released in 1958 as a single, topping the charts in America and the UK. The song would be his only number one on the pop charts in either country. Worldwide, the tune sold over 1 million copies and has been covered by many artists, including The Hollies, Billy Fury, who hit number 10 with it in 1964, and Glen Campbell, who had a top 10 with it in America and the UK in 1970. Conway Twitty would go on to have a total of 55 number 1 hits across all music charts in America, making him one of the most successful recording artists in that country. Only fellow country music singer George Strait has more, with 60 songs that have gone to the top of the charts, which makes him the most successful artist of any genre. 1959, Emil Ford and the Checkmates, What Do You Want to Make Those Eyes at Me For? 17 weeks on the UK pop chart and 6 at the top. With Do Team for Emil Ford scored what is most likely one of the longest titles for any number one song. The first black artist to sell a million copies of a single that, who also produced his own songs. Ford hit another top 5 song with Slow Boat to China in 1960, and then once again in making the top 5 in 1961 with Counting Teardrops. His last charting song, I Wonder Who's Kissing Her Now, was in 1962 and only made it to number 43. This song was first written in 1916 and was released in 1917 on the RCA Victor label by Ada Jones and Billy Murray. Shakin' Stevens peaked at number 5 in 1987 with another version of this song. 1960 Cliff Richard, I Love You. Cliff has had a lot of success throughout his career and especially at Christmas. 68 top 10 UK hits in his career, only behind Elvis, who has 77 to his credit. Sir Cliff has also sold the most singles in chart history, selling an astounding 21,400,000 copies, making him by far the number one in that department. He has sold more than 250 million records worldwide and starred in the iconic films The Young Ones and Summer Holiday. Sir Cliff is simply the most successful British act of all time. I Love You was at the top for 2 weeks in 1960 and was his fourth number one up until that time. His backing band The Shadows also had many hits on their own with their distinctive guitar-oriented sound. In later years, Mr. Richard could be seen providing entertainment during Centre Court during one of the many rain delays at the Wimbledon tennis tournament. More Cliff to come. 1961 Danny Williams' Moon River. Written by Henry Mancini with words by Johnny Mercer and sang by Audrey Hepburn in the film Breakfast at Tiffany's, this Academy Award-winning song was covered by South African-born Danny Williams, who topped the charts with it in the UK for 2 weeks. Andy Williams recorded a version in 1962, which he also performed at the Academy Awards the same year. The song went on to become his theme tune. Britain's Johnny Mathis' other chart success came in 1962 when he hit the top 10 in the US with White on White. Danny Williams, like so many other singers of the day, was soon to be swept away by the beat group craze. The beat craze and the Mersey sound would derail many careers of established artists when it broke, sweeping all before it. 1962 Elvis Presley returned to sender. Incredibly, Return to Sender would be the King's 12th number one in the UK and his 43rd charting single, all in the space of 6 years. Return to Sender was written by Otis Blackwell and Winfield Scott, who had not only written previous hits for Presley such as Don't Be Cruel and All Shook Up, but they had either written or co-written songs for others, including Breathless and Great Balls of Fire for Jerry Lee Lewis, Handyman for Jimmy Jones and Tweedledee for Laven Baker. Based on this success, the duo was then asked to write songs for specific situations in the Presley vehicle Girls, Girls, Girls. Not used to working to a prescribed method or creating songs to order, they had been dissatisfied with the results up to that point and they looked for inspiration outside of the film. A returned demo with Return to Sender, No Such Person, No Such Zone that was stamped on the package provided just the inspiration they were looking for. Producer Halby Wallace instantly loved it and the song was released by Presley as a single, and a scene was then written into the film to accommodate it. Return to Sender held the top spot for 3 weeks. 1963 The Beatles' I Want to Hold Your Hand. Beatlemania had well set in by this time in 1963, and that I Want to Hold Your Hand did not go straight to the top of the charts would have been a shock if it were not for the fact that it was held from the top spot by their own She Loves You. It took 2 weeks to dislodge that song to then sit on top at number one for 5 weeks. The first of three consecutive Crimble number ones for the Beatles. The song was written eyeball to eyeball by band members Lennon and McCartney in the basement of McCartney's then girlfriend Jane Asher. Dismissed by critics at the time as another pop tune that would not stand up to the test of time, I Want to Hold Your Hand spent a total of 21 weeks in the top 50 and was the group's best-selling single worldwide, selling in excess of 12 million copies. 1964 The Beatles' I Feel Fine. Distinguished by arguably the first use of feedback on a record, I Feel Fine was the sixth number one in 1964 for Lennon and McCartney, the seventh as writers. The other songs that they topped the uppermost of the poppermost with were I Want to Hold Your Hand, Can't Buy Me Love, Love Me Do, A Hard Day's Night and World Without Love. It was the 19th best-selling song of that year, and the B-side She's a Woman also became a hit, peaking at number 4. It was the first single for the Fabs to be released concurrently in the UK and the US. There was a promotional film made for the song that shows the Fab Four with gym equipment, and along with We Can Work It Out and Day Tripper is noted to be amongst the first music videos shot for any band. 1965 The Beatles' Day Tripper, We Can Work It Out. This double A-side reached the number one spot in December of 1965 and ran at the top for 5 weeks. Under pressure for a single for the upcoming Christmas market, both songs were recorded during the Rubber Soul album sessions. Day Tripper was primarily written by John Lennon and had been in the band's setlist for nearly a year. We Can Work It Out was a collaboration between Lennon and McCartney, with George Harrison contributing to the song's arrangement during the recording session. Writing most of their songs face-to-face in the early days, We Can Work It Out by this time was one of the few that they did write together. 1966 Tom Jones' Green, Green Grass of Home. Green, Green Grass of Home was first made popular in 1965 by singer Porter Wagner, who reached number 4 with the song on the country music chart. Jerry Lee Lewis liked the song and recorded it for his Country Songs for City Folks album, and that is where Tom Jones heard it. A fan of Jerry Lee, the Welsh singer, really liked the tune. The Voice learned the song from Lewis's version, made a recording of it and released it as a single, and had a worldwide smash with it. On the top of the chart for 7 weeks, the song has sold over 1.25 million copies in the UK. It was the second number one for Tiger, the first being It's Not Unusual in 1965. Jones was a popular Las Vegas act and performed regularly at the Flamingo Hotel. In 1969, a recording capturing one of his performances was released called This Is Tom Jones, and features some of Britain's best musicians of the time backing him. 1967 The Beatles' Hello, Goodbye. Their fourth Christmas number one in 5 years, The Beatles' Hello, Goodbye was also one of their longest stays at number one with a run of 7 weeks. The song was written solely by Paul McCartney and was their first release after their manager Brian Epstein's death. On the flip side of the single is I Am the Walrus, which featured in the film Magical Mystery Tour and was written by John Lennon. Years later, Lennon stated he had pushed for his song to be the A-side but was told Hello, Goodbye was the most commercial of the two by George Martin, their producer. Lennon reluctantly agreed and later said that he began to submerge after that and was dismissive of Paul's song, saying Hello, Goodbye beat out I Am the Walrus. Can you believe that? Looking back, some feel that had Lennon gotten his way, perhaps he would have led the band to new heights. But as it was, it may have been one of the first signs of the Beatles' demise. 1968 The Scaffold, Lily the Pink. Lily the Pink was based on an early folk song called The Ballad of Lydia Pinkham that had its origins sometime in the 1800s. The comedy act Scaffold released the song in November of 1968, and it ended up roosting in the number one position for 4 weeks. The Liverpool group was made up of Mike McGeara, Paul McCartney's brother, poet Roger McGough and comedian John Gorman. Backing musicians and singers on the track included Graham Nash of The Hollies, Tim Rice, Elton John and Jack Bruce on bass. It was the first novelty song of sorts to top the chart at Christmas. In 1970, Scaffold went on to host a popular children's television series called Score with the Scaffold. The group had two other top 10 singles, including Thank You Very Much, which reached number 4, and Liverpool Lou at number 7. 1969 Rolf Harris' Two Little Boys. Two Little Boys was written in 1902 and was a popular music hall ditty of the time, and is about two little boys who grow up to fight in a war. Harris had rediscovered the song while back home in Australia and then performed it back in Britain on his BBC variety television show, where it got a very favourable reaction from the audience. This encouraged the Tie Me Down Kangaroo, sports singer to record a proper version of it and release as a single, with it then shooting to number one and staying there for 6 weeks. The song has been covered by other artists, notably John Denver, who performed it at the Nowhere Coffee House at the University of Cincinnati in 1969. 1970. Dave Edmunds' I Hear You Knocking. 6 weeks on top and the first and only number one for this Welsh rocker, selling over 3 million copies, earning him a gold disc. Coming across the song while producing an album for Shakin' Stevens, Edmunds recorded his own version of this Smiley Lewis song and released it on the MAM label, and was to be his biggest hit. In the 1970s, he would go on to produce recordings for pub rockers Princely Swartz, Dux Deluxe, the Flamin' Groovies and the British blues rock band Foghat. In the 1980s he would also go on to produce Paul McCartney, the Stray Cats, the Fabulous Thunderbirds, and Status Quo. Girls Talk, a reworking of an Elvis Costello song, gave Edmunds a number 4 hit in 1978. A video was made of the tune with Rockpile, Edmunds' band, with pal Niklo providing backing. 1971, Benny Hill, Ernie, the fastest milkman in the West. Based on his time as a milkman in East Leigh, Hampshire, Hill had written a screenplay in 1955 that went unused, with the story of Ernie as the show's intro. The story is about Ernie the milkman competing with Ted the bread man for the affections of Sue the widow. It ends up with the two protagonists dueling with wares from their respective carts. Hill performed the song on his 1970 comedy show and then released it with the lyrics revamped on his album Word and Music. EMI, his record label, decided to put the tune out as a single, and it became a surprise hit, topping the chart for 4 weeks and grabbing the Christmas number one spot for 1971. Hill shot a promotional film for the song starring himself as Ernie, Henry McGee as Ted, and Jan Butlin as Sue. Evidently, the original clip is not broadcast much on television, as the show was shot in black and white due to a technician strike at the time. 1972, Little Jimmy Osmond, Long-Haired Lover from Liverpool. Sometimes timing is everything, and released when the Osmonds were sweeping the UK, selling out venues everywhere, Long-Haired Lover from Liverpool was destined to be a success. The song was originally released by a fellow MGM recording artist, which is how Jimmy's mom discovered it. Immediately upon hearing it and thinking that it would be perfect for her youngest son, she played it for producer Mike Kerb, who agreed. Number one in the UK for 5 weeks, the single sold over a million copies, making Little Jimmy Osmond the youngest to have the top spot at 9 years and 8 months. Osmond would go on to chart twice more, with Tweedledee in 1973 and then with I'm Gonna Knock on Your Door in 1974, reaching number 4 and number 11 respectively. 1973, Slade, Merry Xmas Everybody. 5 weeks at number 1 and taking the top Christmas spot in 1973, this tune has charted every year after its release and has been in the top 40 or better in at least 11 different years. This perennial favorite is said to have given Slade singer Noddy Holder a very comfortable retirement pension. In a precursor to the famous August 1995 Blur vs. Oasis chart battle, Merry Xmas Everybody beat out Wizard's I Wish It Could Be Christmas Every Day, who ended up at number 4, selling over 1.2 million copies. It is said to be one of the most played classics in the world. Fellow glam rockers Wizard had the last laugh of sorts when in 2012 on an ITV festive special, Slade's song came in at number 3, with The Pogues' Fairy Tale of New York at number 1 and then Wizard's tune number 2 by public vote. Noddy's Christmas cracker rakes in an average of around £500,000 every December. I am sure that there are many who would wish that their pension was anywhere as good. 1974, Mud Lonely This Christmas. Another glam rock offering which topped the charts for 4 weeks, Lonely This Christmas was Mud's second number one and the third that year for the songwriting and production team of Mike Chapman and Nicky Chinn, who also had a string of chart songs with artists Susie Quattro, The Sweet, Racy, and one of Phil the Test Manager's favorites, Smokey. formed in 1966, Mudd came into their own under Chennai Chap, scoring 14 top 20 hits and 3 number ones. Tiger Feet is perhaps their most recognized hit, which reached number one in 1974 and was also played at the 2012 Summer Olympics opening ceremony. Sadly, after fronting the band from 1966 to 2004 with a year out in 1979, lead singer Legray passed away in 2004 at the age of 57. 1975 Queen Bohemian Rhapsody. Number one for 9 weeks and then again in 1991 for 5 weeks to become the best-selling number one Christmas single on R&B Down. Queen is the only artist to achieve the coveted Christmas top spot twice with the same song. Third best-selling single in British chart history with over 2.2 million in sales and over 6 million in sales worldwide. This 6-minute operatic suite was the first single by the band to reach number one. Released with what is considered a groundbreaking video that the magazine Rolling Stone has said cannot be overstated, practically inventing the music video 7 years before MTV went on the air. The Guardian has ranked the music video at number 31 on their list of 50 key events in rock music history. In 1992, the song also hit number 2 in the US when it was used in a segment of the film Wayne's World. Party on, Wayne. Copyright Wallace the Waffle Whiffer 2019.